Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back to hour number three of Fantasy Sports Today. Listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Joe Galina. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Galina, G-A-L-L-I-N-A. Follow my buddy George Kurtz at George Kurtz. Pretty simple.
Yeah, we don't make it that hard.
Yeah. And the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel, joining us. Sean, what's your Twitter handle? Maybe people want to follow you. You're an interesting guy. You're a little... You're big on the DFS for NASCAR.
My Twitter handle is SeanE247. That's
there you go, Talladega.
Yep, for all my NASCAR escapades and such.
There you go, big race today with Talladega.
That is right. We got Talladega today. Mm-hmm. Later on today, it's mm-hmm. going to be quite a race. Talladega is the sort of track where it's usually very, very hard in order to predict the winner just because of the unpredictable nature of how races at this track usually go. Crashes, and especially ones of the bigger variety, are very common. So even the underdogs have a pretty fair chance when it comes to winning.
Mm. Will Ricky Bobby use the shake and bake in this draft, in this race today?
Well, I don't see any Wonder Bread on the track, so I don't think we're going to be seeing much Ricky Bobby today.
I just hope the imaginary fire doesn't hurt Ricky Bobby again. It was touching how his best friend Cal Norton came and tried to save him from the imaginary fire.
Yeah, but really, I guess he just still wanted Tom Cruise to save him in the end, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he was shouting out for Oprah Winfrey, too, for some reason. I don't know. That was a funny movie. But in all seriousness, Sean Engel really knows his stuff, wins money on DFS when it comes to NASCAR. So give him a follow. Sean's a great guy. He does a great job producing our show. So thank you to Sean. And let's talk with the Chiefs earlier and the promo from yesterday's show. We were talking a little Chiefs, and so I'm looking at the Chiefs.
Before we do that, last thing about baseball that I'd sure. Mike Cardano just tweeted out. Mike's our boss here at the Fantasy Network, so Mike tweets out, and I think this is a funny tweet: when Major League Baseball changed from a DL to the IL, I missed the part where all of my fantasy baseball players were required to go on it. I have a 31-player roster, two IL slots. I now have 18 guys on the IL. I don't know how true that mm-hmm. is, by the way. 18 seems like an awful lot, but I get the point. And can't come close mm-hmm. to fielding an active team. When did this become a contact sport? Hashtag WTF. I'll let you figure out the WTF mm-hmm. all by yourself. I think Mike is I do think it's a funny tweet. I know it's a frustration tweet, but he's also sort of stating what many of us feel, that mm-hmm, mm-hmm. my God, there are so many players on the injured list. I mean,
yes. Yeah.
I'll say it again. You know my pet peeve, that I think IL slots should be unlimited, because I think this is determining leagues. Now, Mike's mentioned, I think Mike's exaggerating by 18. Maybe he's not, but I think he's probably exaggerating by 18. But even if it's half that number, 9, well, his team is screwed. He's done. He can't
mm-hmm.
win.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't win, because two IL slots, can't say, and I have 7 guys. I assume it's a 5-man bench, so now that means even if he's exaggerating by half, and it's only 9 guys. Well, now he has 2 dead slots on his lineup, assuming he wants to keep all these hurt guys that he has to feel that are going to get zeros because they're on the IL. You know, I understand you could probably say, well, he can get rid of those guys, but why should he have to get rid of a guy on the IL? to field a full team. Because I'll say it again. You know, if I'm in that league with Mike, and, you know, he's got all these guys hurt, and I don't. I'm lucky. I only have one or two guys on the IL, and I put him on my IL slot, and I'm fine. Well, now Mike has to release guys. Maybe he has to release good guys. You know, decent players. Oh, thanks, Mike. I can go take, you know, this player because, hey, I my roster's fine. I have an open IL slot, or I have a guy I can release. I have no problem eating this guy for a week and keep him on my bench. So Mike gets screwed twice. You know, I keep saying this over and over again. Not only does Mike have the player hurt and he can't use him, but now he had to release him, and I picked him, and somebody in his league picked him up. So he got screwed twice. He doesn't get the player, now somebody else does. I just think we need to adjust now because of what's going on in baseball. So many teams are using this new 10-day. For, like I said, I just mentioned the Yankees. If anybody with a hangnail goes on, I think it's the same thing with a lot of other teams. It's only 10 days. If he's going to be out 3-4 days anyway, well, it's not even an extra week we put him on. Let's play it safe. Put him on the IL. I think fantasy leagues need to adjust.
And in the past, you know how I felt about this. You know, Mean Joe Galina would have said, hey, you know, would have been playing the imaginary violin, you know, listening to your diatribe there. But, you know, you do bring up a very good point. Teams are utilizing that 10-day IL more and more, you know, and we talked about it over the past couple of years with the Dodgers and the way that they, you know, put their pitchers on the IL, almost like giving them like personal time off. And you brought up a good point in terms of the way the Yankees have been using it. You know, they're more cautious when it comes to where, you know, maybe Gary Sanchez didn't need to go on the IL. But so in the past, you know, I kind of would poo-poo what you said. But, you know, I guess you have to adjust to what's going on in baseball. And I could see expanding it, you know, from two, or you want to make it unlimited, sure. As long as we're all playing by the same rules, absolutely. There's no reason why you should have to drop a viable fantasy player off of your roster because of, you know, you've had, you know, things that happen out of your control in terms of, you know, injuries. So you've moved me.
All right, that's one that's got to work on everybody else. I'm getting there. You know, I'll never understand why. You know, people say, oh, the waiver, that means the waiver wire is weaker. Well, you know what? The waiver wires would always get stronger anyway. Those, as players come back from the IL, someone has to be released, so they get more players put on the waiver wire. Plus, the waiver wire is weak anyway. Unless you're playing an 8-team league, the waiver wire is always weak. All right, there's not a lot of players out there. They'd be gone already. I just think it's not the greatest argument, not for today's game. And as far as people, I think people generally vote against it. Generally, the lucky ones who aren't hurt. I mean, okay, you got lucky. As soon as you had a year or two where you've had what Mike's going through, 9-10 guys on the IL, all of a sudden you want unlimited IL real quick. Once again, I want to take luck out of the game. I want to put as much skill in as possible. But if you're playing with limited IL slots, then luck's part of it. Mike said, Mike, no matter how good or bad player he is, he's not going to survive with 10, 12, 18 guys on the IL. No one is. All right, you're toast. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing you can do. And now if you have to release those players too, I mean, I don't understand that. Like I said, I want to take luck out, not put it back, but not make it a game any luckier. You know, there's already, of course, there's some luck involved, but let's make it as skillful as possible.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah, I'm with you. You convinced me. So we'll be back to baseball. This is our last hour of the show, and then you could listen to Cam Stewart and George Kurtz on Weekend Fantasy Update. Lots of gambling talk, lots of hockey news in terms of with the playoffs going on, and just entertaining. An entertaining show, so stay tuned for that. But I'm looking at ourlads.com, and they give you a pretty good depth chart. I don't know if it's the official one, but you know, George had alluded to the Chiefs, and I'm looking at their wide receivers now, and you know, I guess Tyreek Hill, because he's been excluded from all football activities, isn't listed on this on their depth chart that's provided by ourlads.com. I'll get it out. Because right now they have DeMarcus Robinson as their wide receiver, Sammy Watkins, and then the Chiefs they drafted Mecole Hardman, who his skill set very, very similar to Tyreek Hill. So I'm thinking that it's only a matter of time before Tyreek Hill gets probably cut from this team. You know, if, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, why Tyreek Hill might be cut, there's an investigation that has been reopened in terms of child abuse allegations. There was a recording that came out where, supposedly Tyreek Hill's voice was on there. It's a very ugly situation. And the focus should be on the child and the welfare of the child, of course. But, we're doing a fantasy show, so we try to, keep it as light as possible. But obviously, the focus should be on the kid. So hopefully the kid, better days are ahead for him. But Mecole Hardman, obviously that speaks to what the Chiefs are going through. And the Chiefs have to be, held responsible. I mean, Kareem Hunt, now Tyreek Hill, they need to vet their players a bit better, no?
I mean, Cam and I hit on this yesterday. We'll definitely hit on it again. Teams don't care. Chiefs don't care. All right, they will release Tyreek
Hill.
That's sad. They will.
That is sad.
Because it's after the fact. Remember, Tyreek Hill did this in college as well. When the same girl beat her up when she was pregnant. All right, now he's done it again with the kid. And he threatened her too, right? You better be scared of me too, you effing bitch. I mean, this way I'm going to love to see how they're going to try and spin this eventually. At some point when he comes back in, oh, he's sorry, really? Wasn't he sorry the first time too? That didn't seem to work. This is something completely different because it involves a kid. We've seen the videos of Kareem Hunt kicking the woman, Ray Rice doing what he did to his fiance, knocking her out in the elevator. Now it involves a kid. It's just getting worse. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean. How do the Chiefs justify this? You drafted this guy, signed him after he did it in college. You just traded for Frank Clark, who had the same thing. All right, so don't tell me you care. You don't. Teams don't care. Not until after it happens when he's on their roster, and then they care. But you don't care. Up to that, the guy can play. You think he can help your team win? It's all about wins and losses. Well, that's all you care about. And you'll roll the dice somewhat. I think it's a shame. I do. It's why football has such a bad image. It's why some people believe that football is just full of criminals. All they care about is wins and losses. It's why football has. It's why Goodell is trying to do what he's trying to do. This is why, by the way, to try and change the image of football. What Tyreek Hill did was reprehensible. I mean, just terrible. Assuming it's all true, which obviously it seemed like on that audio tape that he admitted it's true. Yeah, he certainly wasn't denying it. Yeah, it's. I think the closest thing we have to compare it to would be the Adrian Peterson with the switch, and even that's not the same thing. He's got a lot of problems. I mean, fantasy wise, we are a fantasy show. Not to make light. I mean, you said it. We certainly hope the child is safe, gets the best help he needs. Mm-hmm. The mother doesn't seem to be any prize either, by the way. Why wouldn't she protecting him? But hey, whatever. You certainly hope he's that. But we are a fantasy show. As far as Tyreek Hill. You move on. You move on. I mean, my best guess is he'll be placed on a suspended list eventually, probably when training camp opens. He'll be placed on a suspended list. I don't think he's playing this year. I'd be shocked. He's got legal. Remember, they opened the legal case back up. Now that he admitted this on audio tape, they'll prosecute him. So he's got to worry about that is to stay out of jail. And what that's going to bring. So he's got that issue to worry about. Then he's got the PR nightmare of trying to get back in the NFL. He'll have to apply for reinstatement and then get back in. Then hopefully have a team sign him. Now, Kareem Hunt did find someone to sign him. So I think there will be a team eventually that will take the hit that won't care. The Washington Redskins signed Reuben Foster and all the issues he was through, right? There's always a team out there. Yes, this is different because it involves child abuse. This is certainly different, but there's always a team. Always a team. But like I said, a keeper league, you move on. Unless it's a keeper forever. Dynasty league, I guess, dynasty league, you want to, because you can keep somebody literally forever in that league. Fine. I mean, you want to hold on to it, depending on how many rot spots you have. You want to see what happens in a couple of years. Okay. I can sort of see that. Really comes down to what else you have there, how many bench spots you have, and do you really want to eat it? It also comes down to how good your team. It comes down to a lot of things. If you could possibly trade him to somebody else who wants to take a shot, someone else believes he's not going to get suspended this year, you trade him. You would trade for anything you can get at this point, any kind of value you can possibly get out of somebody. But my best guess is he'll be placed on a suspended list. He won't play this year. He'll have to reapply for reinstatement once all his legal problems are over. And I don't know if that'll be next year, the year after that. Who knows? He'll be in jail. Just don't know.
Yeah.
And then you go from there.
He could
there,
be in jail. You're right. Yeah.
He very, very well could be. That's not a joke. He very well could be end up in jail. Yeah. It's child abuse that he admitted on audio tape for all intents and purposes.
Right, right.
Good luck trying to get that to a jury that you're a good guy. You know, really, good luck. I don't see how you would do that. I imagine that maybe they'll come to some kind of deal so more stuff doesn't come out. You know, listen, it also wouldn't shock me. We've seen a lot of these cases where all of a sudden no one's complaining anymore because people are paid off. You know, this is to drop complaints. But the problem is this one does involve a 3-year-old kid, and that kid can't drop a complaint. You know, that complaint will be there. So, like I said, there'll be a lot of things going through here. But fantasy-wise, like I said, I'm moving on from Tyreek Hill. That's the bottom line. I'm moving on. Like I said, Dynasty League, I guess there are some other factors. But even then, I don't see how I'm keeping this guy.
Yeah, and this Mecole Hardman, you know, he's also having to explain away. I mentioned this to Mike Blewett yesterday on our show. That they've discovered some old homophobic tweets that he posted. So this guy, you know, no prize either. You know, you could explain it away as just being young and stupid, but they're out there forever. You know, the stuff that you put out on social media. So, you know,
it's a learning lesson.
Yeah,
it's a learning lesson. I mean, you don't post anything like that. I mean, I'm a father of two young girls. Yeah, my daughters are 12 and 8. And although I haven't had to have this conversation, not in detail yet, I always tell them, whatever you put on social media is there forever. All right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be seen. Someone's going to have it. So make sure you don't put anything out there you don't want. Make sure you don't put anything out there you wouldn't want me or your mother to see.
Right.
Because really,
right.
That's what it comes down
Absolutely.
To. Absolutely. You know, be very careful here. Yeah, you know, it's all walks of life. Whether you're saying something stupid, God forbid you post anything, any kind of sexual pictures about yourself, I don't care who you're sending it to. You see this stuff in the paper all the time. You send it to one person, it ends up in somebody else's. Right? It costs you jobs, it costs you everything else. It's social media,
sure.
Man. What did Herm Edwards always say? Think before you hit send. You know, think real hard before you hit send or enter, whatever the hell you got to hit here. It's just silly. It's out there forever. All right, you're going to post hatred stuff and all this other crap. It's going to come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like you said, we're a fantasy show, so you're like our first thoughts are with the child. So, you know, we just hope that the child gets the help, the support, the love that he needs. But, you know, the Chiefs ended up, like I said, taking this Mecole Hardman. You know, very similar skill set to Tyreek Hill. Basically, their needs were on defense, right? I mean, so I guess they didn't. Yeah, they picked up a cornerback, defensive tackle, another quarterback, and a backup running back. So, right, we'll come back. Unfortunately, we had to do that segment, but, you know, it's news. We have to cover it. So, we'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. Turn the discussion back to some baseball. Maybe in the next segment we'll talk a little bit more football, but lots of stuff to get to. Obviously not going to be able to get to all the the box scores like we do sometimes on this show, but let's talk about the Brewers-Mets game. There's a lot of fantasy implications to this this meeting. Brewers beat the Mets 8-6. Three hits each for Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, 14th home run for Yelich, Moustakas with two hits, Eric Thames playing first base in for Jesus Aguilar, 2-for-4, two runs batted in. Thames is batting .294, five home runs, 16 ribbies in 51 at-bats. I mean, we know he's streaky, George, but is it time to pick up this guy off the waiver wire? I mean, you know, he's been a better batter against righties, but this season in very limited at-bats, killing lefties as well. But we're getting questions about what to do about Jesus Aguilar. I mean, do you hold on to him? Time to move on. The guy's batting .129, no home runs as of yet, and 70 at-bats. I mean, in my preseason analysis, I didn't see any indication that he would just tank the way he has. I mean, I asked you a lot of questions here, but do we pick up Eric Thames? Do we drop Jesus Aguilar? Do we you know, bide our time with him? It's only a month into the season, but what do you think?
I mean, once again, the problem with the Brewers is that they're pretty much three guys for two spots. I mean, you know, Lorenzo Cain is going to play. Yelich is going to play. So it's Braun, Aguilar, Thames, pretty much for one outfield spot in first base. You know, Braun's going to play some too most of the time, though not every day, but most. Yeah. You know, so these teams and Aguilar, bad hit guys. You're not hitting, you're going to sit. It's really that simple here. So Aguilar, he was a rough start, really rough start, especially the past couple of weeks. Now he's been sitting. Now they're going with Thames. If Thames hits, he's going to play. If he doesn't hit, they'll go back to Aguilar. So I'm not really big on either one of them. Now, am I releasing Aguilar? No, I'm benching him. Not starting him, I'm benching, but I don't want to release him yet. Once again, you know, it's late April. I don't like really releasing guys who are top 12 round players until really Memorial Day. I always go by the holidays. That's my first checkpoint. You know, bottom of my roster, sure, I'll churn that. But, you know, guys who are my first 12, 14 round picks, probably not doing that till Memorial Day. Unless, there's somebody great on the waiver wire, then I just have no choice. Roster crunch, fine. It's not it's now what I said is not going to be true in every league, just in most of my leagues. Am I going to pick up Thames? Sure, I don't mind giving him a shot, but once again, not spending a lot of money, not giving up a lot of capital for it. I'm not releasing a player I like for him because he won't hit eventually. And even if he does, I still think Aguilar is going to be a part of this, so he's not going to play every day. Just too, like I said, too many players there, too many good players for too few spots. So it comes down to it for me. So I don't mind taking a shot at Thames, but it has to be under my, you know, under my rules for my price.
All right. Good. That's good. I mean, I have a Aguilar in a league, and I ended up benching him. I didn't drop him. But, you know, it was a little bit of a deeper league, and the best option that I thought was Jose Ramirez, who's first base and outfield eligible on the Cardinals. And, you know, Bader had been on the IL, and Tyler O'Neill was on the IL, so he was getting playing time. So I ended up going with him. So, I mean, I agree with you. It's too early to just give up on him totally. So we'll see. We'll just keep our fingers crossed. Let's talk about the Mets pitching woes. Noah Syndergaard in this game against the Brewers gave up five runs yesterday, 6.35 ERA. What do you think about, you know, the struggles that this guy has had so far? I'm looking at some of his numbers. I mean, you know, he's got a strand rate of 56.8. The FIP, the XFIP, they're much better. You know, they're 3.7 on the FIP, 3.6 on the XFIP. What do you do if you're a Noah Syndergaard owner? Again, I guess it's similar probably question as for Aguilar. I mean, we're a month into the season. Do you see anything that scares you, though, for the long term with Syndergaard, or do you think he figures it out?
I mean, you have to worry somewhat. He's not pitching very well. He's been terrible. ERA is over 6 now. Right, last night he was blaming pretty much the cold weather. He couldn't grip a slider last night. No, I mean, what's the excuse for the other games? All right, well, how come he hasn't pitched well in those games? So I have my issues with Noah right now. And that being said, I wanted him coming into the season. I don't think I have him in any league. I wasn't able to get him, but it wasn't because I was avoiding him. I did want him on my roster. So I believed in him coming into the season. It's not working out right now. Really, it's not working out for any of the Mets pitchers. What's wrong with Jacob DeGrom?
Right.
That's three bad starts.
I was going to mention him next. Yeah,
they're trying to say that his bad starts because of the rain delays. You know, and that's what the issue is with DeGrom. Zach Wheeler's been up and down. Matt's been expected to be more up and down. Vargas sucks. So that's really where we're on that. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what to tell you with Syndergaard right now. I think he's another guy. I can't start him right now. He's on my bench. Mm-hmm. That being said, it means you're probably benching him, though, for a guy who's, you know, a fourth or fifth starter on the team. That's scary, too. So it may not be the greatest thing, but I can't just plug him in right now. You know, I can't just plug Noah in blindly and go, hey, he's in my lineup. I can't do that. He's pitching poorly. You know, poorly, where he's hurting your team right now. He's not, the bottom line, he's not helping your team right now. Certainly not with his pitching. Mm-hmm. Maybe with his bat he can help you, but his pitching right now has been bad.
Yeah, that's funny with the bat. And you mentioned Jason DeGrom. You know, the MRI came back clean, but just the fact that the Mets were worried about him enough to have him have an MRI, to me, that's even more concerning than Syndergaard, because there might be something brewing there, right? And 4.85 ERA for him on the season, 5 runs given up to the Brewers Friday, 2 starts ago, 6 runs. So you're right. It is a scary situation. I was doing some research, and this was as of Friday morning, right? Based on preseason ADPs in NFBC leagues, 6 of those starting pitchers, 6 of the 10 first starting pitchers taken in NFBC fantasy baseball leagues. I'm talking Max Scherzer, Sale, Cole, Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Noah Syndergaard had ERAs of between 4.45 and 7.43. Now, if you take the average of those 6 pitchers' ERAs in 2018, it was 2.8. So, look, I'm not saying, you know, the cold weather, yeah, it's, you know, it had something to do with it. But everyone's looking for pitching. Everyone's hurting at pitching, it seems, this early in the season.
It's been strange. I mean, you mentioned Scherzer hasn't pitched all that great. I think it's 1-3, only has 1 win on the season, which is certainly aggravating for fantasy owners. I'm not so sure we should have been surprised about Sale or Kluber. The signs have been there, you know, with both guys. We always say with Sale, we knew he was going to have a vacation at some point during every year. They're going to put him on a DL because it's a long season. He doesn't seem to be able to last. And then last year in the World Series, pitching all those games in relief and winning a World Series for the Red Sox should have told us something. Kluber's almost the same thing. Slows down at the end of every year. Tells you something, right? It tells you something. So I'm not.
He's pitched
I'm
a lot of innings.
Sure we should have been surprised
over his career.
Thrown a lot of innings. Carrasco, once again, he's done this before, but he's been up and down somewhat. And this year has been weird. One terrible start, one great start. One terrible start, one great start. It is strange. So like I said, I'm not so sure we should have been surprised. Even Thor. He wasn't Thor all of last year. He's Noah Syndergaard. We can't even call him Thor right now. He's just Noah Syndergaard. But he wasn't all that great all of last year either. He had great spurts, but not great year. So I don't know if we have the right to be surprised by any of this, with the exception of Scherzer and DeGrom.
What do you think about what Kershaw has been doing? Pitched real well last night. And this has been the case, and we've spoken about this. When he's on the field, he's been dynamite, right? Even with these the past few years dealing with the injuries. So last night against the Pirates, 7 innings, 1 earned run, no walks, 8 strikeouts. Are you in a situation where you would try to sell him high at this stage? Because I know what you're going to tell me, and you're right. I mean, do we expect that he won't hit the DL or IL going forward this season? Do you think he has at least maybe one more IL stint, you know, before the season's over? Is he more a sell high kind of guy?
All right. Anybody can be a sell high guy depending on what the offer is. I never think Joe in a league. I mean, I think everyone's tradable. If I have Mike Trout and I do in a league, he's tradable. You make me the right offer, anyone's tradable. You know, I'll move him. So anyone's a sell high. But I get what you're asking. I don't think I'm actively moving. I also wonder if I can get the price I want right now as well. So I don't think I'm actively moving him. But like I said, it's April 20th. I'd like to wait before I start trading guys that I believed in. you know, wait a little bit longer, mainly because for a couple of reasons. One, I think they're going to play well, so I want them on my team to help me. And two is, what value can I get from them now? Whether it's a sell high or a buy low, probably more interested in buying low right now on people than I am selling high. So this is, I don't think I'm going to be able to get the value right now. A couple of the baseball notes I want to get before we leave our commercial break.
Sure.
J.D. Martinez out again today. So no J.D. Martinez in your lineup. This guy has the back issues there. He's out. And the Mets, designated for assignment, Travis d'Arnaud. He is gone. I guess maybe he's not fully recovered from the surgery there, but he's gone. So TDA is gone. JDM is out. And the Mets have called, if anybody cares, the Mets have called up Thomas Nito. He'll be the backup catcher for the Mets to Ramos. So TDA, bye-bye.
The Thomas Nito?
Yes, the Thomas Nito.
Okay. All right. So we still have some time before we go to commercial. A's versus Blue Jays. J7, A's 1. Vlad Guerrero, the second coming, batting cleanup. Another 1-for-4 day. A walk, 2 Ks, 5 runners left on base. What are we thinking about Vlad Guerrero? So basically he's going to have 5 full months of playing time for the season. What do you think he does with those? I'm thinking, maybe a 285 to 295 batting average. Is that being too generous? I mean, the guy could hit. The guy is hit at every level. What are we thinking maybe for those 5, low 20s in home runs? What are you thinking, George? What do you think about the whole Vlad Guerrero situation?
No, it doesn't matter. All right. If he's still available on your waiver wire, yes, you have to blow your budget for him. All right, that's all that matters because
he's
still
on.
Out there. I would think he's got a majority of leagues. I know I drafted him in a league and I was willing to eat it for a couple of weeks until he came back. You said it perfect. The man can hit. He plays in a ballpark that it's conducive to hitting. Not only is it turf, but the ball flies out to all fields in Toronto, left, right, and center. He can hit it to all fields. My guess is from this point forward. Yeah, I think 20-plus home runs is coming. 25-plus wouldn't shock me. Hell, I'll be honest with you, 30-plus wouldn't shock me. He is that good a hitter. I think he'll go through periods where things aren't going well. He'll have to make adjustments, but he's strong enough. I mean, he started yesterday, I think it was Friday night. He pretty much one-handed the ball. The left fielder had to make a great catch, and he was off balance. Guerrero was. He was off balance. It wasn't even a good swing. He was jammed. Yet he still put it towards the wall. He's going to hit. My only worry would be this. If you want to play devil's advocate, negative Ned, would be, once again, the adjustments he's going to have to make. And two is, I wonder eventually if he sort of gets the Mike Trout treatment. All right, he's not beating me. I'm going to make Randall Grichuk beat me. And make Joe Justin Smoke, but it's not going to be Guerrero. That sort of thing, where his hype is just too big that people are just going to, it's not going to be him. No way am I losing to Guerrero. It's just not going to happen. I do wonder if that could happen. But that being said, I think, listen, he's a hitter. He's not going to be a fielder. He's a DH waiting to happen because his body's going to get out of control as he gets older. So if you're looking long-term in dynasty leagues, keeper leagues, and you think about acquiring him, keep in mind, eventually he's going to clog up that DH spot.
Right. That's a good point. They need to get him some protection in that lineup, though, as well. So Randall Grichuk, who you mentioned, 3-for-5 yesterday, 2 runs batted in, now batting .238. Brandon Drury, remember him? as a Yankee fan, had a cup of coffee. Hit a walk-off home run Friday night, 3-for-3 yesterday. So, still no real fantasy value for
Brandon Drury's a pretty good, useful little player. Came up, so that was the end of him. But he's not a bad player. He's a good, useful, good player. Third, second, short, even some outfield. He's a player like you. Yeah, probably on a good team, you don't want him starting in any one position, but you like to have him on the team because he can cover so many.
Maybe a better real-life player than fantasy, right?
Oh, I think that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, I think that's actually perfect. A guy you'd want on your baseball team, but probably not on your fantasy baseball team.
Right. So yesterday, Aaron Sanchez, 5 innings pitched, 1 run, 4 walks, 4 Ks. Walks have always been an issue for him, averaging just over 5 walks per 9 over the past 3 seasons. But rightfully so, Toronto's ballpark has always been known as a hitter's park, but to point how we were talking about pitching before and how strange it's been this year. I mean, the Jays team ARA, 3.46, and none have been better than Marcus Stroman, right? I know he's 1-3, but 1.43 ERA, 1.09 whip. Always been a ground ball pitcher this season as well, 54.5. Hasn't given up a home run yet. K's up just about 2 per 9. Moving away from the fastball, throwing the cutter more than previous season, relying on the slider and sinker. Batting average against those two pitches, 143 and 184 respectively. Mark Stroman, is he a guy that you would target as a trade option? And you wonder what the trade deadline, if Jay's going to look to move him as they continue to rebuild.
Well, let's not forget, they tried to there was interest in Stroman during the offseason, specifically by the Padres. And I have to imagine, because there was a lot of talk that, the Toronto was willing to move him. Now, I think Toronto probably, things worked out well here in that, hey, we didn't trade him, and now his value has only gone up because he's pitching lights out, outstanding. Toronto, I think, has to move him because, well, let's face it, Toronto's a couple of years away, right? Even if things go well, they're a couple of years away from contending, and by then he'll be a free agent, and you don't want to deal with that. So I think you want to move him, and I think his price only got up. He could be one of the top guys. If he keeps pitching this well, he could be one of the top guys available by the trade deadline. Now, that being said, I think in Toronto, you got to be careful here. You want to trade him before things go the other direction, right? Before he starts pitching poorly.
Yes.
So I think Stroman's going to be that name you start to hear almost immediately after Memorial Day. Start June. Right. That's when people are going to start talking about Stroman.
As we go out to commercial, one of my favorite funk bands, the Gap Band. Outstanding. That's what you are, George. You're outstanding. We'll be back with the final segment, Fantasy Sports Today, the Fantasy Sports.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back for the final segment of Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Lina, along with George Kurtz.
Yay.
Sean Angle, producing our show. Like this song. And stick around, because right after our show, you get to hear a weekend fantasy update. Our friend Cam Stewart and George Kurtz. We'll take you through. They'll be talking a little betting action. Obviously, some hockey playoffs. What do you think about the Islanders' chances of advancing? Now they've lost the first game, right, on Friday night, George?
They did. Listen, I'm an Islander fan. I think if you are an Islander fan, they weren't going to sweep this series too. So you can't go, jumping over a bridge because you lost game one. Again, they probably should have won. They were controlling that overtime. And it was funny. I was in the middle of a tweet that actually was writing. The Islanders have been controlling this overtime. They just haven't been able to get the A opportunity. And then as soon as I'm in the middle of it, and then Kyle Clutterbuck decides to do a drop pass that leads to the game-winning goal. It was a horrific play by Clutterbuck. I mean, a terrible play. But that being said, it happens. You move on. You couldn't beat Mrazek for some reason in that game. The Islanders don't score a lot of goals. They don't. They're going to play a defensive game. That's a game you probably have to win, either in 1-0, 2-1. You need that game. But Carolina's not going to score a lot of goals either. I mean, because of this NHL playoff system, the Islanders and Carolina are playing each other, which means one of them is going to go to the conference finals. But I don't expect either one to represent the East and the Stanley Cup. I think that'll be the winner of Boston-Columbus. But that being said, today's an important game. You don't want to go down 2-0. I know a lot of fans are automatically blaming the fact that they went from the Coliseum to Barclays as to why they lost. And I knew that. You knew that was coming. You know, as soon as they would lose a game, it was going to be because of the move here. And granted, the atmosphere is not the same. The rink is not the same. The ice is not the same. The ice is bad at Barclays. I would much rather see him play at the Coliseum as well. So while I don't want to say today is a must win, I think you damn well better win if you're the Islanders today. And I think they'll pull it out.
All right. Good luck to your team. Good analysis.
Thank you. Thank you.
Playing on Sunday today at 3 p.m. So, hope you enjoy that game. Hopefully the results are what you want. And you're right. You don't want to. I guess it's not a must game, but you don't want to go down 0-2. But,
going down 0-2 in the first two games are at home, that wouldn't be good.
One thing I'll say
for the Islanders and the Columbus Blue Jackets, those are the two teams that swept in the first round, so they've had a long, long layoff. I mean, the Islanders hadn't played for 11 days. I think Columbus was 10 days before they played. If both teams, the Islanders and Columbus, can make it this a long series, 6-7 games, that has to pay off for them. Has to pay off. So I think that's what the Islanders want to do. Hit Carolina every chance they get. Carolina had to go 7 games. They played overtime in game 7, played overtime in game 1. They're playing a lot of hockey. Sooner or later, that has to catch up.
Mm-hmm. All right. So good stuff. And listen to George and Cam coming up, a weekend fantasy update. So one other game I wanted to go through, at least one other baseball game. Phillies slugfest against the Marlins. Phillies beat the Marlins 12-9. Home runs from Jorge Alfaro, the Marlins catcher. You had, McCutchen hit his fifth home run. Hoskins hit his eighth home run for the Phillies. And one guy I wanted to mention was Jake Arrieta, who got the win, pitched 5 innings, gave up 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks, 3.46 ERA on the season. But what'd you think about him speaking up and basically out against Bryce Harper for getting thrown out of the game, I guess, earlier this week? He was arguing balls and strikes. Got thrown out off of the bench, right? He was on the bench when he got thrown out. But Jake Arrieta calling out basically the guy that the Phillies spent a ton of money on. And you know how fickle the Phillies fan base could be. You don't want to bring any attention to anything that could possibly turn the fan base against Bryce Harper, who's going to be playing there basically forever. So what'd you think about that? And, you know, it's also interesting because when you think about what Carlos Santana had said about the clubhouse, the Phillies clubhouse, late in the season last year, when they felt that the players were more interested in playing video games than concentrating on winning baseball games. So what do you think about the overall clubhouse with the Phillies?
Ooh, so much to go over here. Really, a lot to go over here. First off, you want to solve this problem? Go with the Questech. Once again, K-Zone, you don't have these kind of arguments. You don't have these kind of problems. The umpire in that game was lousy. You know, listen, I mean, you think about it. The last two games. I'm the Yankee fan, so I've watched the Yankee games the past two nights. Friday night, as soon as I saw the umpire, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a long game. Because he was a hitter's umpire, anything close wasn't a strike. I mean, everything was a ball. Yesterday, watching the game, it was a pitcher's umpire. And you saw it right away. Right away, I mean, the plate was 22 inches. He was giving everything to the pitcher. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be a quick game. You know, and you know that. But that shouldn't happen. The plate is the plate. It shouldn't change, but it does. Some umpires are big, some umpires are small. With Bryce Harper, yes, it was a big plate that night. And he got called out on things that weren't a strike. You know, does he have to get over that? Absolutely. Bryce has always been someone who goes from, he says it. He goes from 0 to 60 as far as anger in 2 seconds. And you know, that can't happen. I mean, it really can't happen. That being said, it's one game, Arrieta. You don't call your teammate out like that. Not in the media. Not in the media. You want to go to the, and I said, for all we know, maybe he's done this before. I don't know. And Bryce ignored him, whatever it is. But that's when you talk to him in private after the game. You know, on the bus,
yes,
the, whatever.
I agree.
Club,
yeah.
You know, you don't do it in the media. Hey, Bryce, we need you. We da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You know, my guess is the Philly fans love him for it because you know fans love that sort of crap, the arguments that go on the player looking berserk. I'm surprised Bryce didn't get suspended because he pushed Kapler into the umpire. The umpire did get hit, and generally that's an automatic suspension, and it should have been a suspension for Kapler. Kapler got pushed into him. Kapler did nothing wrong. You know, that sort of thing here. But like I said. Yes, the umpire strike zone was large. It was the umpire that made a mistake, but that's going to happen. All right, you can't flip out and get thrown out of a game like that. But Arrieta was wrong too. And listen, even so, you don't think there'll be a game where Arrieta's mad and something might happen to him? I mean, I think it's silly. I just thought it was silly for Arrieta to come out and say that in April. And this is not like it's. I might feel differently, Joe, if this is July and he's been thrown out of four games already. Then I might be a little upset. But you know, one game in April, I would just say, hey, you know, I literally would. Hey, Bryce, listen, we need you. Okay, let's not have this. We can't have you getting thrown out of games. Okay, remember, if it's working against you, the umpire's calling more strikes for me, so I'm getting strikeouts out of it. So it's good for the team, or it evens out for the team. That sort of thing. Just let them know, like, don't get thrown out of games. Not angrily. Down to them. Matter of fact stuff. I don't think you ever want to go to the media unless that's. Nothing else is working. I have talked to him. He's still a little disobeying it. And also, I would say this. Is it Arrieta's job to go to the media? Wouldn't that be Gabe Kapler's job?
Right,
yeah,
right.
The manager's job to go to the media? Yeah. Who anointed you? The number one, the spokesperson for the Philadelphia Phillies. So I might say that as well. Right. I thought Arrieta was out of line.
Right. I'm looking at, the splits for Bryce Harper. You know, he started out really so hot. Past couple of weeks, batting .229, and here's what I'm worried about with him, is that his home away stats. I mean, it's only a month into the season, but like I said, Phillies fans very, very tough. But he's batting .204 at home. Still got the nice slugging percentage, hit four home runs at home, but .306 on the road. So those Phillies fans watching him make outs a lot when he's at home, and like I said. We've acknowledged they're a very, very tough fan base, and you don't want to get them on your bad side.
Well, you know, Joe, I said this before, and I know you and I have talked about it before. I don't understand the contract that Harper signed. Not the money. Listen, fine, $300 million, $330 million. I wouldn't have signed the extra 3 years or $30 million. That was silly. You know, take the 10, 300 and whatever. But why didn't you get the opt-outs? I mean, especially in Philadelphia, because you already said it, man. That's a rough place to play. And if you're not playing well or they just hate you for whatever reason, I mean, that you don't want to be there 10 years. You just don't want to be there. They will eat your soul. It's a rough place to play. I mean, that's rougher than New York, and that's saying something, you know, as far as that. Because say what happened here. If you know, the Yankee fans already dislike Stanton. He had a pretty good year last year, but, you know, they get on him. But I don't understand that. In this day and age where these opt-outs are commonplace, you know, they're just common. Right. You could have gotten it after 2 years, after 3 years. Why wouldn't you take it just in case it's not working out there? I understand it looks better by you not taking it because you can sell, oh, no, I want to be here 10 years, 13 years and build a winner, da, 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 da. You can sell that. But, you know, it's commonplace now with these opt-outs. So you don't even have to say, hey, you know, all right, got an opt-out. You can you'd be okay with it. You know, you could just be okay with it. So I was surprised that for the reasons you're mentioning that we're mentioning, it's a huge gamble.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right, so we have a few minutes remaining. Why don't we talk? You are the closer guru. I wanted to ask you about what's going on with Tampa Bay. And, Emilio Pagan got his third save last night against the Red Sox. Rays beat the Red Sox 2-1. Yandy Diaz, who I love, enjoying a little bit of a breakout season, seventh home run, .279 batting average, 14 RBIs. Mookie Betts hits his fifth home run. Charlie Morton, four walks and six innings pitched, but pitched well enough for the win. Dave Price pitched well, but talk to me about the Rays bullpen. Is Emilio Pagan worth a waiver wire ad this week?
Probably not. I will have to write about the Tampa Bay bullpen this week because they're not using Alvarado in anywhere near as many save situations now, and he's not pitching very well. That's why. You know, so they're going with a hodgepodge there. So it's concerning, right? Alvarado was so good in the first couple weeks of the year, and now he's struggling. He's just struggling. Mm-hmm. I think he gets the job back. I do. I think this is sort of they're trying to get him on track by pitching him in. Listen, pitching in the eighth inning is not really all that much less stress, but it's not the ninth inning. It's really what it is right now. So I do think he gets the job back, but I'm a little worried. I've got Alvarado in a league or two. I'm a little worried here. And once again, that's natural for fantasy owners. We always worry. But my head is telling me it's just a little break here that he'll get it back here. So don't overreact. That's where I'm going with it right now.
Gotcha. And Minnesota, Taylor Rogers, you know, I had drafted him in the preseason thinking that maybe he'd have a shot. I think he got at least a save this week. Still no clarity in terms of that Twins bullpen, or, you know, should I keep Rogers on my bench at this stage?
Another tough one here. I think, listen, if everyone's available in your league and you're picking one up tonight, Blake Parker's the one I'm going with. But I don't say that with a whole lot of confidence. But I think he's the guy I'd like right now. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, it would have been Taylor Rogers. But now it's Parker to me. But Joe, in 2 weeks, it could be Rogers again. I don't think they have a lockdown guy. They're also not getting a lot of save opportunities. He's like they either lose or they win big. All right, so we don't see who they're going to go with there, and that can be problematic as well. I think this is a team that really should be in the market for Kimbrel. He's still out there. The Washington Nationals should certainly be in the market for him. So could that happen at some point during the season? So I
left because
Parker
I thought
right
we were going to get through a show without mentioning Kimbrel or Dallas Keuchel, right?
I didn't mention Keuchel. That's on you. But when you talk closers, you have to mention Kimbrel. He's out there. Someone's going to grab him eventually. And that means some fantasy owner is going to get screwed. Because whatever closer you have is going to be gone 3 weeks after after Kimbrel signs, because he's going to be closing for that new team. So, I wonder, will it be the Twins? As I mentioned, the Nationals. Brewers make sense. Braves make sense. And you think about the Braves. Right. I mean, this guy is gone for the year. A.J. Minter is their closer. He got lit up again last night. Not pitching very well this year. Kimbrel's from that area, likes that area. It's coming down to contract terms. Right now, Kimbrel still wants too much money. He eventually is going to have to settle for a 1, maybe a 2-year deal. He's going to have to eat it. And when will his ego and his agent's ego allow him to eat it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Good point. Anybody you like today in terms of starting pitchers? We could have a potential nice little game here between the Rays and the Red Sox. Got Tyler Glasnow, right-hander for the Rays, going up against Chris Sale, left-hander. Sale, I mean, you can't read too much into it because it was against the Detroit Tigers, but pitched 5 innings, 2 earned runs in his last start, 10 Ks. Do you think that maybe we're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel regarding Chris Sale? Anybody in particular that you like maybe in terms of DFS? I know you might not have looked at the whole slate yet, but anybody that sticks out to you?
All right, well, you're not going Chris Sale. You're not going to spend $10,000 on Sale today. Yeah, the start against Detroit was okay, but it was still only 5 innings. You know, he didn't get the win either. No J.D. Martinez today. I'm going to stay away from Sale and Glasnow. You know, Glasnow's 9,600. So I'm going to stay away from both. I'm looking at DraftKings, by the way, for anybody who's wondering. So I'm going to stay there. Top pitchers, Flaherty at 10,300. Yeah, Cincinnati can hit a little bit playing well. I'm interested in Flaherty, but I don't know if I'll go that direction. One player I like, a pitcher I like, I should say, Matthew Boyd, going up against the White Sox today. The weather won't be all that spectacular. 9,300. So Boyd is going to be somebody I'm looking at here. He may be my number one pitcher today. Might be, as far as that's concerned here. Now I need a secondary guy, right? This is the site we're on. We mentioned Baltimore. They are a decent hitting team, but Kyle Gibson, 7,400. Man, I can almost guarantee myself a win there. All right, we already said it earlier. Minnesota Twins averaging 4 home runs. Bundy gives them up today. Minnesota Twins have 4 home runs when they play Baltimore. So I think I'm going with Kyle Gibson could be my second pitcher today. That's what I'm leaning towards right now. You know, I could be, once again, anybody can always talk me into anything else. But that's where I think I'm going to go. I suppose if you really want to save, you want to give Matt Harvey a shot against KC, a team that doesn't hit all that well. Harvey pitched decent against the Yankees. I'm just looking down the list here. If you want to go Helixson against San Diego, 6,200. You know, I don't want to say I could be talked into it, but I could think about that as well.
Yep. Good stuff from George Kurtz. Game of Thrones tonight. I know you might be watching it on a little bit of a delay. We have a little less than a minute. Any predictions for who might get their throats slit in the battle, the oncoming battle, which I think is going to happen tonight? You bring up a good point. Might happen next week. But any predictions as to any casualties on the show?
Yeah, I just wonder if they make this week's show at least half it about what's going on in the with Cersei. I'll say No, I'm not going to make any predictions. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I think I might know something, so I'm not going to say anything.
Ooh, okay, then keep it to yourself. Great show. Great talking to you. Thanks to Sean Angle. Great job. Stay tuned for Weekend Fantasy Update. Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Sports Today.